It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the holidays are quickly approaching, which means a lot of airline travel. We'll look at airline trends and get some advice on booking a ticket. First, it's Election Day, and here at Central Time, we usually take a day off of talking about the elections while people are going to the polls. Now we're going to have some fun with it. You are our guest, and the topic is books that get made into movies. You can join in right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What is your favorite book that was turned into a movie? Is there one where you feel like the movie really did justice to the book? Or is there a movie that came out worse than the original, or left out something important, or just missed the spirit of the book or short story it was based on? Or is there a novel maybe that you want to see a movie version of that hasn't happened yet? Or maybe the one that hasn't happened didn't do the job for you. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your book to movie recommendations or anti-recommendations. 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. We already heard from Nicole on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who says the best two book-to-movie adaptations are Princess Bride and Stardust. Both had absolutely stellar cast and script. And Nicole says, I enjoy the movies even more than the books. Two great ones to start with, Princess Bride and Stardust. Hey, speaking of, now, Stardust, that's Neil Gaiman. Another Neil Gaiman, we asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media, Judith Marie Heise, he says, we enjoyed the Coraline film adaptation. It's great. Both the book and movie are great. The film illuminates the book in a different but also magical way. Here is a listen to a bit of Coraline.
You're just in time for supper, dear. You're not my mother. My mother doesn't have buttons. Do you like them? I'm your other mother, silly. Now go tell your other father that supper's ready.
That was a pretty good one, actually. Animated, which I don't always go for, but I think it really did the job for the Neil Gaiman original. Judith also mentioned liking a Western romance, The Horse Whisperer, way better than the book, she says. Robert Redford significantly changed the ending, spoilers, and made an insufferable book into a tolerable movie. Well cast all around, she says. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Bernadette is with us in Delafield. Bernadette, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think the best, one of the best books in the world and best movie from the book was To Kill a Mockingbird, my favorite. So,
is that when you go back and either watch and or read, Bernadette?
Oh, yes, both. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely worth it.
A good classic. Thank you for getting us started, Bernadette, at 800-642-1234. Mark joins us now in De Pere. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was really impressed by the Lord of the Rings trilogy that was put together by those movie makers in New Zealand. They really got the spirit of the books by J.R. Tolkien. But I'm very disappointed by this newest rendition that Amazon is putting together called The Rings of Power. Mm-hmm. They're really missing the central theme that we usually see in the original works.
And Mark, I got to ask, I agree with you on Lord of the Rings. I haven't watched Rings of Power. Where are you on the Hobbit movies?
The Hobbit movie, it was also, I felt they really stretched it out to make three movies. It did not need to be three movies except for a way to make it a franchise that could make a lot of money.
I am right there with you, Mark. We also heard from Tony Bartoluti here at Wisconsin Public Media, who gave us an extensive list of movies, including the original Lord of the Rings. So I've got a little Gandalf ready for you here.
A wizard is never late, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Same goes for script edits. Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Kirk joins us now in Madison. Kirk, hi.
Hi, yes. My favorite novel turned into a film is The Lathe of Heaven by Ursula Le Guin. and it was produced by PBS in 1980. It appeared as a full-length feature film for those who remember back in 1980, The Lays of Heaven. Are you familiar with it?
You know, I like Ursula Le Guin. I have not read that book, and I haven't seen the movie.
Oh. That is such a great film and just wonderful acting and soundtrack. The one that I wish was a film was the famous fantasy series Elric of Melniboné by Michael Moorcock.
And there's a zillion of those books, right? That's not just one novel.
Yeah, there's like 10 Michael Moorcock of Elric.
Excellent.
And there's been many attempts, and this is one of those books where the director gave up, and they like it was never completed by several. I think there like four different directors attempted, because the story is so, incredible, and it's really very readable. Like you would, when you finish the first one, you want to immediately read the second.
Kirk, thanks a lot for sharing the recommendation and the hope for that movie to come through in the future. We are asking for you to call in and share your favorite book-to-movie adaptations, or ones that you think got it wrong, or, as we heard from Kirk there, ones you'd like to see someday. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Here again around Wisconsin Public Media, Marcus Cruz from the Educational Communications Board says, with the expansion of Star Wars movies and TV shows, I'd love to see a movie or TV show of the Darth Bane trilogy written by Drew Karpyshyn. I haven't read that. There's a lot of Star Wars books out there that could be future TV shows or movies. Kate Sullivan says, I want to see Jennifer Egan's A Visit from the Goon Squad and Candy House. Back to your calls now. Cameron is with us, calling from here in Wisconsin. Cameron, hi.
I love your guys' show.
Thanks.
Very, very interesting topic. If you guys remember back in 1973, a little movie called The Exorcist came out and shocked half the nation. But that movie was actually first written as a novel by William Peter Blatty.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the movie. I haven't read the book. Have you read the book?
I have not read the book, but I've heard William Peter Blatty talk about the book, and he actually wrote the book from a position of a factual story that happened to a 12-year-old boy instead of a 13-year-old girl.
Huh. Interesting.
So, yeah, I found that interesting. And the director himself, William Friedkin, he's best known for The French Connection. He directed The Exorcist. He also attacked that movie from a standpoint of faith, not so much along the lines of a horror movie, but more as a documentary from the writings of William Peter Blatty.
Gotcha. Cameron, thanks a lot. Interesting. I guess I knew vaguely that it was a book, but I haven't read that one. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Tom joins us now in Green Bay. Tom, what's your movie?
Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm.
The book is a considerable read, but they tried to make three movies out of it, and the first two were such poor failures. Never even happened. The characters were stale. I don't even know who directed it, but it was a very poor adaptation.
Two, you said the first two. How about the third one, the third try?
The third, they tried to make it a trilogy, but the third one was never produced.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant there were three different versions. It was a trilogy that didn't get completed. Oh no.
Right, yeah. The book was pretty thick, and so anyways.
Hard to make. Tom, thanks for sharing that one. We are taking your comments, your favorite book-to-movie transitions, or as Tom mentioned, your failed book-to-movie transitions. We've got Diego with us now in Madison. Diego, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your book-to-movie?
Mine is Where the Crawdad Sings. I know people are always going to say the book's 100 times better, but I really think the film did it justice. It was perfectly made with the right actors. I just loved it.
You know, Diego, I've looked at some lists where people just rated best book to movie transitions, and that one did pop up in a couple, so you are not completely alone on this one.
Oh, yeah, I just feel like the actors did an amazing job. I mean, the ending was just perfect.
Excellent, Diego. Thanks for sharing that. Mary Sue is with us now in West Bend. Mary Sue, do you have some books to movies to share with us?
Yes, I have. I thought one of the best adaptations I've ever seen is the movie The Book Thief from the book of the same title. I thought they just did a terrific job. It was a wonderful book, and I was afraid to see the movie, but I actually have seen it twice.
Oh, wow.
And I might just see it again sometime because I just thought they brought to life the characters. It gave a different dimension. I thought the acting was one. Anyways, obviously, I liked it a lot.
I guess so.
And I don't usually.
Mary Sue, I'm glad that one held up for you, despite your fear about it. Thanks for that call. We're asking for your calls about books that get turned into movies. Let us know if you have a favorite, one that let you down, one that you want to see happen. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're taking your calls about books that get turned into movies. For better or worse, let us know your favorite or your fails at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to your calls, we asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media, got a couple classic recommendations. Norman Gilliland says Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca, the 1940 Alfred Hitchcock adaptation. Jill Nadeau says the Harry Potter movies let her down, but she loved Emma Thompson's version of Sense and Sensibility. Here's a listen.
Though he may harbor some regret, I believe that he will be happy in the knowledge that he did his duty and kept his word. After all, that is bewitching in the idea of one's happiness entirely depending on one person. It is not always possible, we must accept. Edward will marry Lucy, and you and I will go home.
Oh, boy, I hope things work out for her. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234 with Helene in Lake Delton. Helene, what's your movie?
Oh, the movie was a book and a movie, of course. The movie I saw was Giant, and I was a teenager then, and I was a long time ago. But, I loved the movie so much, so I got the book, Edna Ferber's Giant. I couldn't imagine how that woman had ever gotten a Pulitzer Prize from her writing, because there was just nothing that the book added to the movie whatsoever. I was bitterly disappointed.
Oh no, we're talking Giant. That's one with James Dean, right?
I believe. Oh yes, right, for sure. And she was raised in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh no, kidding.
She wasn't born in Wisconsin. She was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, but she was raised in Appleton.
Helene, thanks so much for sharing that. A nice Wisconsin connection there. I appreciate that. We'll go now to Caleb in Nina. Caleb, hi.
Oh, hey there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. What is your book to movie?
Oh, perfect. So I was thinking of Westworld. It was a really old book, and then they made it into a pretty old movie, but most recently they've had a TV show on HBO, and that's really amazing.
My wife's been watching that TV show. The book was that Michael Crichton? Originally?
Yes, it is. It is. Yep, exactly.
And the movie, I never saw the movie. Is that Yul Brynner as the robot cowboy gone bad? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I do think you got it right there.
Awesome. And have you seen the movie, Caleb?
Yes, I have a while ago. It's it's an older movie, but it's kind of fun with the special effects and whatnot, seeing all they can do back in the 70s or 80s.
Awesome, Caleb. Thanks a lot for joining the conversation. We are asking you to share book to movie recommendations, ones that let you down, ones you want to see. We've gotten some of everything. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Eric is with us. Erica is with us from Lake Tomahawk. Erica, hi.
Hello. I love the African Queen.
Oh, I've seen the movie. Have you read the book?
I have, indeed. I have it in paper and on my Kindle, and we have the CD. We've gone from VHS to CD. We watch a lot of Bogey, but that one I thought was magnificent.
Yeah, I guess they got a couple pretty good lead actors for that, huh? Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 800-642-1234 is the number for you to share book-to-movie adaptations for better or worse. Tim joins us now in Nisida. Tim, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's your book that got made into a movie?
So the book is called Piece of Cake. It's by an author named Derek Robinson. It's about a squadron during World War II of British pilots, and it was made into a British miniseries. I think it was 6 one-hour episodes, and you can get it now on DVD.
Excellent. Now, how old is this film, I guess, adaptation or miniseries adaptation?
Oh, boy. I read the book in grade school, which if I do the math, it was probably 30 years ago.
Okay, cool. That sounds pretty good, Tim. Thanks a lot for sharing that. We've heard from some of you online in various ways. Carol from Mount Horeb says, pay it forward. That author, all of her books could be a movie so good. Got an email recommending, Snow Falling on Cedars. The emailer enjoyed the book. Movie adaptation did not disappoint. That's from, Sandra. Okay, cool. Thank you. You could email ideas at WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Brad is with us in... Is that Wenasha?
Yep.
Okay, great. Brad, what is your book to movie?
I would have to say it's What's Eating Gilbert Grape, written by Peter Hedges. And the movie starred Johnny Depp,
yep,
Leonardo DiCaprio, and Juliette Lewis. And I think it was probably, in my opinion, one of Leonardo's earliest roles, but also probably one of his best performances.
It's a burger barn, Gilbert, right?
Yep, you got it.
I've seen the movie. Obviously, I haven't read the book, though. Is that worth reading?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Now we'll go to Anita in DeSoto. Anita, hi.
Hi. I wanted to recommend a book to be made into a movie called Palace Walk. We just read it for our book club. It was originally written in 1956, I believe, in Arabic, and then it was subsequently translated. And interestingly, one of the editors is Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
No, that's Naguib Mahfouz. I don't know if I'm saying the author's name right. Big name author from Egypt, I think, right? And you thought the in translation to work pretty well for you?
Right. He was from Cairo. And then it's actually part of a trilogy. So the Palace Walk takes place in 1917. And then he wrote two subsequent volumes called Palace of Desire and then Sugar Street. And I, from what I understand, those take place a year later. So 2018 and 2019. So it'd be wonderful to see the whole kit and caboodle made into a series. That would be wonderful.
Fantastic. Interesting recommendation. I appreciate that. We are taking your book to movie favorites, least favorites, and as we just heard, recommendations, ones you want to see made into movies. Back to your calls now. Brandon is with us in Baraboo. Brandon, hi.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What's your book?
So the book that I'd like to see actually remade is Count of Monte Cristo. So there's a 2002 film, and up until I read the book, it was one of my absolute favorite movies. I loved it. It's got Jim Caviezel in it. It's very well done. But then I went back years later and ended up reading the book, and the book is so much better than the movie is. I think it definitely deserves a remake into a miniseries.
I've read the book and I liked it. I remember like it because it's got Guy Pearce was also in that. Luis Guzman, yeah, I always like him.
Yes,
there's good actors in it, but you think they could do better?
I think there's a lot more intrigue in the book that warrants a miniseries remake. I think the BBC would be a great venue for that.
Excellent
that series.
Awesome. Well, I'm hoping that happens for you. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, time for a couple more callers. Andy is with us in Appleton. Andy, hi.
Pleasantries. I was super disappointed when I was halfway through the book, The Da Vinci Code, and loving all the twists and turns and the investigations and the previews the movie came out with Tom Hanks. It totally shattered my image of what the main characters look like.
See, that is the curse sometimes when it gets made into a movie. If you've got your vision of it and then somebody else tells you their vision of it, yeah, you couldn't. Did you stop reading those books then after that?
No, I finished it. But I'll tell you, even though the movie was totally entertaining, I felt like I was robbed.
Oh, so
I
no.
I could not enjoy it.
Sorry about that, Andy. Thanks a lot. Also, I think I may just start conversations with pleasantries. We used to end conversations here at WPR with like awkward pause or something like that, and then just walk away from each other. Bill, thanks for that, Andy. Bill joins us now in The Only Wanakee in the World. Bill, what is your movie?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that was a book, I guess. Yeah, tell us about the book. Have you read it?
A long, long time ago.
Okay.
And actually, I have another one, Little Big Man. I read both the book and the movie. I thought both were incredibly entertaining. But again, very long time ago and kind of hard to remember. Other than that, they were really enjoyable.
That's awesome. Well, maybe go back and give them another read and or watch. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. We heard from some more people around here at Wisconsin Public Media. Tom Blaine says, almost invariably, I feel that movies have to sacrifice the subtle, in-depth setup and development books can afford. But that said, he says a movie that comes to mind that was at least as good as a book was Winter's Bone, which brought a very young Jennifer Lawrence into the spotlight. Alyssa Tagan says, I thought Ava DuVernay did a good job with Wrinkle in Time, but my kids were bummed they didn't put in the part about Aunt Beast. But Alyssa says the Percy Jackson movie did not hold up. Well, you could keep sharing your favorite, least favorite, or the books you want to see made into a movie. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up after the news, air travel seems to be bouncing back with a lot of people getting ready to fly for the holidays. Look at the latest airline trends and what you need to know before booking your holiday travel tickets. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. This is the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at the environment for startup companies and new small businesses here in Wisconsin and find out why there's a lot going on outside of the Madison and Milwaukee metropolitan areas. Now, airlines reported that it's their busiest year for holiday travel in the past 5 years. As the numbers of passengers goes up, so do the prices. And it seems like the closer we get to the winter holidays, the higher the ticket prices go. Our next guest is here to give us the latest on supply and demand in air travel, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you planning to fly somewhere for the holidays this year or thinking about it? Is it your first time with air travel since COVID started, or have you been doing it a lot? Have you already bought or tried to buy tickets? What are you finding when you start shopping? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Carrie Tan is an associate professor of economics in the Selinger School of Business and Management at Loyola University in Maryland. Carrie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on the show.
I laid out some basics there. What are we seeing when it comes to demand for air travel over this next couple of holiday months?
Well, it seems like you've done the job for me. as you mentioned, there's been a lot of pent-up demand. And so we're seeing flight operations not quite back to pre-pandemic levels, but getting pretty close. And as part of that, not only are we seeing more flight operations, but as you mentioned, airfares have been going up lately, and especially prepping up for the holiday season.
Going up like a little, or are people who, you know, flew maybe 3-4 years ago going to think there's some sticker shock going on?
I think that depends on the route. And so one of the ways that airlines have pivoted since the pandemic is they've focused a lot more on leisure travel. And so I grew up in LA. And so taking a look at flights back home, I've been getting that sticker shock of how expensive a flight back to LA can be.
But places that aren't as much for leisure travel, are there bargains out there to be found, or at least non-inflated prices to be found out there?
So it appears as though some of the airlines have been trying to put on a fare sale, depending on the date restrictions. And so if you're savvy enough, you could try to find some pretty good discounts. I just wouldn't bet on it.
So what kind of savviness can we apply? What kind of flexibility can we have that might help us get a little bit of a deal on a plane ticket?
Yeah, so some of my friends have found that airlines have become quite savvy as far as dynamic pricing strategies are concerned. So what I mean by that is, as the time to the departure date gets closer, airlines the pricing strategies get quite complicated and quite interesting from an economics standpoint. So as a potential passenger, what I try to do is to avoid getting myself in those situations by trying to book as far in advance as possible. So the threshold seems to be 2 to 3 weeks in advance. If you could try to book your flight 2 to 3 weeks in advance, that would kind of be the ideal timeline. Now, of course, things can change and travel plans can be quite fluid in those last 2 or 3 weeks. But if possible, I always try to advise friends to try to book earlier rather than later.
And I've found in, pre-pandemic era, if I'm willing to fly or able to fly on a Thursday instead of a Friday or something like that, if we start playing around with our departure and arrival dates, can we sometimes find a less expensive ticket?
Yeah, that's something that I've been playing around myself with. So whenever I try to fly, there's a couple of things that I try to keep in mind. So I try to avoid, if possible, the Friday to Sunday flight. Of course, that's somewhat the most convenient timeline for most people. But if you could fly on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, there's typically less demand on those days. And so you might be able to get a better deal. The other thing that I get worried about are flight delays. So I try to fly as early in the morning as possible. Now, that means that I have to set my alarm clock earlier than I'd like, but at least I'm on the plane and headed to my destination, and I think that's a win. So I try to fly in non-peak times and as early in the morning as possible. Usually those planes are hopefully at the airport the night before and so are ready for you to go first thing in the morning.
We are talking about air travel, especially during the holidays. Carrie Tan is with us from Loyola University's Economics Department and Business Department. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your firsthand report. Have you been shopping around for air travel for Thanksgiving or looking ahead to Christmas and or beyond? What are you finding? Are you thinking about driving instead when you see the prices? What questions do you have about what's going on in the airline industry? If you work in that industry, love to hear from you and find out how your airport or airline is battening down the hatches for a busy season. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's flip things around, Carrie, and look at this from the airline side of things. We know they took a big hit, of course, during the pandemic, a lot fewer people traveling. Now they're busy. Are they well-staffed enough? Do they have enough resources to meet this demand over the next month and a half or so?
Yeah, so the pilot shortage has been a hot topic, and it's been an issue even before the pandemic. It just was bad timing where the pandemic exacerbated these labor issues. And so one of the issues is always going to be is if there's two things that I have in mind. Well, one, are there enough pilots and enough reserve pilots just in case there are extended delays? And two, can we get lucky with weather? And especially in the wintertime with storms coming in across the country, those are two issues that I have in mind as far as delays are concerned.
Now, a pilot for American Airlines, who's also a pilots union spokesperson, told NPR, I'm going to quote here, right now, management continues to stuff the holiday turkey with uncertainty. And then he goes on looking at his schedule for November. They're loaded up to the max. Not a lot of room for error. So once one little thing starts to go, like say the weather or some pilots get sick or something, there is the potential for our travel plans to be disrupted, right?
So that's something I've been taking a look at in my own research, is this idea of extended delays. And so if you have a delay that might need a pilot or a new flight crew to come in from another city, that might make that original delay even worse. And so that is the ultimate nightmare as a traveler.
People can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your travel experiences. Now, you've been tracking, I think, a merger, Carrie, in the airline industry, or potential merger, one of those budget type lines, and JetBlue. What's going on and how could it affect our travel experience?
Well, it's really been quite the love triangle, not only Spirit, JetBlue, but also Frontier being involved here. And so you have these two ultra low cost carriers who are initially interested in each other, in Spirit and Frontier. JetBlue swooped in, and at the end of the day, the Spirit shareholders chose to go with the JetBlue deal, which is, to their point, or to their credit, a more financially lucrative offer. And so what we'll see is what happens as far as a government regulation standpoint on whether the Department of Justice will approve this merger. But that's remains to be seen what happens there.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Brian on the line in Chippewa Falls. Brian, hi.
Hi. Hey, I am curious to know if what's the best way to get the cheapest international flight? Is it better to camp out at the ticket line and cross your fingers for that one last seats, or rather, I guess in this situation, they'd be selling the tickets cheaper to try to fill up the plane, or to book years in advance? And is it cheaper to mix and match airline carriers, or how can I get to Africa on a dime?
A dime sounds like a stretch, Brian. Thanks for calling in. Carrie, what do we know as things stand right now about international air travel and how someone like Brian, who it sounds like is willing to twist and turn as he needs to, what are the prospects out there?
Yeah, it's interesting. The two extreme strategies there, waiting at the airport or booking years in advance, I would probably say something in the middle would be ideal. Again, the more in advance you can book, in my opinion, the better. Now, can you book years in advance? I don't think airlines know what their schedule is going to be like years in advance. But the bigger concern for me as far as international travel is concerned is more the flight operations, from a flight operations standpoint rather than a pricing standpoint. We've seen a lot of airports in Europe and in Canada really struggle with staffing as far as security and baggage is concerned. So I would try my best to book as early in advance, and just be wary about trying to connect through some of those connections. If you're trying to get to Africa, I'd be a little bit wary trying to connect through Europe, certain airports in Europe where they've really struggled with connections and with getting your baggage onto your next plane.
Brian, good luck getting that in budget and logistically sound. We are talking to Carrie Tan, Associate Professor of Economics at Loyola University in Maryland, looking at holiday air travel this year, what you need to know before you book your airline ticket, what's going on inside the industry, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Are you flying this year for the winter holidays? Maybe for the first time in a few years. Have you already booked a ticket? What was it like shopping? Are you waiting a little longer? Are you choosing to fly out on a weekend or a weekday? Did you play around with the booking to try to nudge the price down a little bit? And if you work in the industry, love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Carrie Tan, Associate Professor of Economics at Loyola University in Maryland, with us today to talk about flying during the winter holidays, what you need to know before you travel, what's going on in the airline industry. A lot of people planning to fly on the holidays, but maybe not Wisconsinites. Not a lot of calls coming in. We're very frugal here. Maybe you are avoiding flying because you're looking at the prices of tickets and saying, nope. Well, tell us about it, whether you are or are intentionally not flying. Call in at 800-642-1234. If you have been flying a lot over the last year, what's it like? What do you want to tell people who haven't experienced it in a while? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers. We've got another one here. William in Lake Geneva now. William, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to throw my two cents in. Frankly, it's been many years since I've elected to get a connection flight, even if I pay a little more. The airline, it just double or triples your risk of getting to your final destination in a timely way. And so I was just going to throw that out there.
So, William, you're willing to maybe drive a little extra if you can get a direct flight, say, from a Chicago, if you could only get a connecting from a Madison or Milwaukee? Got it. William, thanks a lot. Carrie, I've experienced flying and missing that connection myself. Is that riskier now, the way airlines are set up this year? Is there more of a risk of missing that connecting flight?
So delays have been up a little bit more than usual. I personally agree with the caller where if I can get a nonstop flight at a reasonable price, that would be my personal preference as well. But there are some routes where it's just not feasible to have a nonstop flight. And so when that happens, I try to strategically choose where my connection is going to be. My personal preference is if I could try to connect closest to where my destination will be. That way, if I do miss a flight, I could try to have some alternatives as backups to get me to my final destination.
It's the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles reenactment. William, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We got an email from Mary Sue who says, I travel to Washington State every 3 to 4 months to see my now 97-year-old mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and her husband. I'll be going back again soon. When I went in April, Mary Sue says, round trip, nonstop tickets, Milwaukee to Seattle were under $400. In late July, they're almost four times as much. Now they're back to under $400 for my upcoming trip. Wow. Is that kind of variability for the same flight over time common?
No. that seems a very interesting price trend there. I'm very curious to see what's happening there. I wonder if there's something happening with the particular airline or if there's something about the actual destination. But no, that doesn't seem normal to me.
Interesting. Well, yeah, maybe that was just a one-off weird glitch. We are talking about air travel, the economics of air travel with Carrie Tan from Loyola University in Maryland, associate professor of economics there. Still time for you to join in with your air travel purchasing experience for better or worse. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Carrie, we've talked about projections for the holiday season being pretty big. A lot of people looking to travel by air. What are we looking for? What trends are you watching for in 2023?
I'd like to see what happens with the pilot shortage and how airlines are able to rectify that issue. What I find really interesting is airlines partnering with flight schools or starting up their own flight schools to really ramp up the issues with the number of pilots that are available. So I'm curious from an airline labor side, what happens in 2023.
I know there's labor shortages in a lot of lines of work. What led to a pilot shortage in particular?
That's an interesting question. So about a decade ago, the number of training hours required to fly one of the planes that a commercial airline would have in their fleet increased from 250 hours to 1,500 hours. And these training hours are quite expensive, and that created a barrier to entry for prospective pilots. And then as we've seen lately during the pandemic, the airlines furloughed a lot of pilots, and the question of whether they came back once the airlines were asking for them to come back was not necessarily guaranteed. So it's been a tough time for airlines to try to get their staffing numbers correct.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Cecilia is with us in Janesville. Cecilia, hi.
Hello. We have been going to St. Thomas for several years and generally pay the same amount most times flying nonstop. This year, it's at least three times what the price of what we've been paying before. I've been looking at airfare for a long time for going there, and it just kept going up and up. It didn't go down like I would have expected as we got closer to the date. Is there a reason why those flights are so high?
Cecilia, interesting. Carrie, Cecilia, observing her regular flight definitely went up. What might account for a big increase like that?
I think St. Thomas would be a fantastic location to go for a vacation right now. And so you might be seeing not only is she looking at these flights, but so many more passengers, more than normal, could be looking at this flight. So with this increase in demand, what we could possibly see, without myself kind of digging into the numbers myself, what we could possibly be seeing is an increase in demand, increasing the airfares for this very popular travel destination.
Cecilia, thanks for the call. Good luck finding cheaper airfare. And that kind of takes us to one of the fundamentals, Carrie, bringing us back to where we start. There was a trend early in the pandemic where people sort of like, don't want to go anywhere, or I can't go anywhere, so I'm going to buy stuff and make my house better or something like that. It seems like people are moving in the opposite direction, and that's part of what's driving demand, say, for that plane ticket to St. Thomas?
Yeah, the experiences. We've been missing out on experiences over the past few years, haven't we? So I think people have been missing loved ones in other parts of the country or possibly other parts of the world. And now as people are feeling a little bit more comfortable traveling in a plane and moving around in an airport. And so now we're seeing, instead of buying stuff, we're seeing these experiences being purchased instead.
A lot of travel people might have the option of, I could drive or I could fly. You mentioned you're getting ready to go from, I think, Maryland to Los Angeles. There's some people who are just stuck flying, right? How do you hold out hope of getting a decent price?
I try to find the best time of year to go, and that might not necessarily be this holiday season, and so possibly I'll have to postpone the trip for another time of year.
Carrie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Carrie Tan, Associate Professor of Economics in the Selinger School of Business and Management at Loyola University in Maryland. He joined us today to talk about holiday airline travel, the current trends in the airline industry. Still time for you to share your own experience. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Let us know if you've had good luck finding budget-priced airline tickets, or if you find yourself having to pay a lot more, or maybe change or postpone or cancel those plans that involved flying. Again, let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Oh, and don't forget, you can join an ongoing conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page about book-to-movie adaptations. Still time for you to share your favorite book made into a movie, whether they got it right or not, or one that really let you down, or, of course, a book you want to see made into a movie. Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tonight at 7, we start coverage of today's election results. Then tomorrow on the morning show with Kate Archer-Kent, check out those results in Wisconsin and around the country, what we do and don't know by that point, and what it means for the future. That's coming up tomorrow morning here on the Ideas Network. A little follow-up from yesterday. I talked about this morning's total lunar eclipse early in the morning and how I was debating whether or not I would watch it. You might have thought, sure, Mr. Big Talker, we know you're just going to sleep through it. Deep down, I thought that too. But I did it. I set my alarm for 4:30 to catch the peak of the eclipse. Because of a magic power I have, I woke up a half hour before the alarm, so I went outside, watched a big part of the process. Then went inside to warm up and watch the rest through the window. It was cool, even though it was partly cloudy. Clouds didn't get in the way. My neighborhood has a lot of streetlights. Would have been better in a darker neighborhood, but I still got to see a lot of it. I got a very blurry picture. If you took a better one, send it to us. Email ideas@wpr.org. And one correction. I said yesterday the next lunar eclipse, the next full lunar eclipse would be in 2015. Oh, we can see the problem there. Let's make it 2025, March of 2025, I believe. Moon news you can use. This is Central Time.